Rather than starting your own pizzeria, why don't you consider buying one?
I just could see that he had no time to put into the pizzeria. When I saw it, I immediately recognized there was a lot of untouched potential.
Today's guest is John Rowe of Speederia Pizzeria, and he explains why he chose to purchase a pizzeria and the first few things he did when taking over.
All of a sudden, production time started getting long, and I started to feel a little embarrassed that we were calling ourselves Speederia.
Now, John is not an industry veteran. He's fairly new at pizza making, but he does have a positive approach to it.
When I go to make a pizza, I imagine I'm at the Olympics, and this one is for the cold.
But as much as you love pizza making, that doesn't make owning and operating a business any easier.
But finding help has been so challenging. This year, I have only had so far 3 days off.
You're listening to the What's Good Dough podcast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good dough? Before we continue on with the episode, I want to give a special shout out to Cordo Olive Oil. Truly, 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 the difference between commodity olive oil and quality olive oil is night and day. And that's why the best pizza makers like John Arena, Chris Secker, and Laura Meyer use Cordo Olive Oil at their restaurant. DM me at What's Good Dough or email me idriff@whatsgooddough.com. And I will set you up with a free tasting if you are an operator. And I'm talking about brick and mortar, caterer, pop-up, anything like that. I'll connect you and get you a free tasting. Now, let's get back to the show.
I'm with John Rowe of Speederia Pizzeria. When you bought this pizzeria 6 years ago?
Seven years ago.
Did you ask them what Speederia meant?
Yes, okay. And Victor was very excited to tell me that growing up, he wanted to be a Formula One racer. And so you'll see the logo is the Formula One race car built out of a slice of pepperoni. And a lot of the names on the menu, like the Monaco, the Daytona, the Indy 500, these are Formula One racetracks. So that was sort of his love and his inspiration for the name.
Do you like that name?
You know, I would have named it something else, but it was already here when I got here and I didn't want to change anything. But so a common name I've seen for pizzerias is Godfather's Pizza. Mm-hmm. So I thought of a little twist on that. I would call it God's Fodder Pizza.
God's Fodder. To nourish people with delicious pizza.
Exactly.
That is crispy, crunchy, and deliciously sauced.
Exactly.
Did you grow appreciation for the...
All of a sudden, production time started getting long. And I started to feel a little embarrassed that we were calling ourselves Speederia when somebody would call an order and we would have to tell them that's going to be like 2.5 hours with all the other orders we already have to make.
Wow.
The demand increased. After we got here, we did a little advertising, which Victor never did before. And we started growing the business and it was very exciting. But so... Upside, downside.
Yeah, I mean, you at least took notice of it and embraced it and like, let's figure out how to make it faster.
Exactly.
What did you do and what was wrong?
Well, Victor was a full-time employee for United Airlines as a mechanic. And the only reason he started this place is because they went on strike, which became extended over a period of a couple of years. And so during that time, he went to work with his brother in New York at his brother's pizzeria, and he learned the recipe. But then he decided he wanted to move out here, and he ended up opening the one in San Carlos first. And that was 2003. And then some years later, he thought, you know, I'm going to expand. And so he opened this one. But he was never here. He would commute to New Jersey every week, spend 5 days, then fly back. And even though he seemed to me to be one of those people that didn't need to sleep, I just could see that he had no time to put into the pizzerias. So they were just kind of coasting along, you know. Not really doing much, really well received by the locals, just loved by the community. But when I saw it, I immediately recognized there was a lot of untouched potential just because he had no time to, you know, work it. So once I got here, we did a little advertising on Facebook and we added delivery, which increased our sales 30% within 90 days, just the delivery. So that was all very exciting. As far as their systems went, we had to build a little bit more infrastructure to handle the increased business, at least to my satisfaction. To give you an idea, when we first got here, the senior cook, we would always just ask him, how long for one? How long for two pizzas? How long for three more? And once the wheel is full, he would have to stop and do all the math. And I'm like, okay, this is not good. We're taking him away from what we need him to do. What are we gonna do? So we built a spreadsheet. We call it the promise sheet. And depending on how many cooks we have, we know how long each pizza is gonna take. So when people call, we tell them, your pizza is gonna be ready at 6:42 or whatever. And we're usually within a minute or two. But it was just a little more organized and no math calculation required. When somebody calls, we just look at our spreadsheet, give them the next spot unless they have a preferred time, you know. Because once we increased production and the time started getting longer, our regulars had to adjust. And so now our longtime regulars order 3 hours or sometimes a day. We have actually gotten orders up to a month in advance.
Wow. Yeah. A month.
Yeah.
They really are planning their pizza and they're like, I'm not gonna miss this.
Right.
This is coming to me on the day and time when I need it.
Exactly.
Okay. So
that was fun.
When you take away someone from what they're doing, they're making pizza, and you take them away and you distract them, or they're calculating doing math, it like not only takes them away from the actual pizza making, but their focus is completely gone.
Right.
And to switch focus back and forth,
so challenging.
It's very challenging. You're essentially rebooting your mind. And if it takes you a minute to make a pizza, if you code switch and go do math and then come back, that pizza might take you 2 minutes because you're trying to think, oh, where did I leave off?
Right.
That's very interesting insight.
Yes. And I'm a strong believer in single tasking as opposed to multitasking, because multitasking by definition means you're splitting your attention. And when I coach, you know, my crew on making a pizza, I tell them the way I do it, when I go to make a pizza, I imagine I'm at the Olympics and this one is for the gold.
Mm.
So I don't want to think about the movie I saw last night. I don't want to think about the place I'm taking the wife to dinner tomorrow. I just want to focus on winning the gold with this pizza right here. So yeah, as you pointed out, distracting people is sometimes unavoidable, but definitely not our preferred ideal.
Yeah, because you're working in a restaurant and lots of things are happening. But if everyone took that approach of, this is the pizza that I have to make to get that gold,
right,
and you are doing it every single time, it's gonna come out great.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's always my goal, just to make the best pizza we can. That's all. These are some of the things that work for me.
Now, I've only known you for about 25 minutes and you come off as very intelligent, but also I can tell by, you're just instinct, Jewel. You have great instincts.
Oh, thank you.
Is this because you have a lot of experience in the restaurant game?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. And the person I am today, I have no doubt, is a result of all the experiences I've lived up till now. But I don't always look back and understand how all those things work together. And of course, when I'm working with, you know, other people, especially younger people, that idea sometimes comes up and I think, oh, they just don't have all the point of reference that I've gained over the years, you know, through all this experience. So I guess so, but it's still kind of a mystery.
Well, what were you doing before you took over this pizzeria 7 years ago?
We were mainly just focused, my wife and I, on raising the kids. We lived in Tahoe, South Lake Tahoe, for about 25 years. And it's a beautiful place to live, but very challenging to make ends meet. It's very seasonal. The economy is almost exclusively tourism-based. So really just winter and summer are the peak seasons. So feast or famine. But the idea was to give them my dream childhood, because that was the kind of environment I dreamed of when I was young and always wanted. So we did that. And then when they got older and started going off to different colleges and things, my wife and I looked at each other and said, okay, what's next? What are we gonna do? And the wife was born and raised in Chicago, so very much a city girl. And so she definitely made the compromise to accommodate my dream and raising the family. So when she said, you know, maybe a city environment, you know, maybe you should just buy your own restaurant now after all these years, you worked all these different places. And I thought, you know, that all sounds good. So I started looking into it. It took over a year before I finally found this one. But here we are.
And when you decided to buy this restaurant, what were you looking for?
I was looking for a unicorn. And I say it like that because I had virtually no money. But I still had my youngest son living at home and my wife and I, and we needed to be able to support ourselves wherever we're gonna be. And I also wanted to have some hope for the future. I needed to look at the business on paper and see that there was growth potential available. So a diamond in the rough.
Before we continue with the show, I want to give a huge shout out to Baccio Cheese for sponsoring the podcast. As some of you may know, I am a fan of pre-shredded cheese for my Detroit-style Frico. And Baccio Cheese works when it comes to taste and performance. My Frico is perfect. I'm going to be posting about it on my Instagram soon, but check that out. More importantly, if you have a pizzeria, I highly recommend checking them out. They have a rewards program, and there's nothing like buying cheese for your pizzeria and making some cheddar on the side. Am I right? Members can earn cash back for every pound of cheese purchased. And so the more cheese you buy, the more you can earn. That to me sounds like a win-win. If you want to get in touch with Baccio, let me know and I will connect you. DM me on Instagram at whatsgooddough or email me idriff@whatsgooddough.com. The holiday season is upon us, and I don't know of a better gift than an Ooni pizza oven. Whether you are gifting for a home pizza maker, a pizza professional, or for yourself, you gotta get with Ooni. Right now, they have some amazing products, like the Ooni Volt 12, which can get up to 950 degrees Fahrenheit, indoors, all electric, baby. It's made some amazing pizzas in my household, and I truly recommend it for ease of use cooking and super hot temperatures that you can control from both top and bottom. Ooni has all of the ovens that you could ever need to start your pizza business, so go ahead and check them out. The link is in the show notes. Thank you for supporting my show sponsors.
But if you have no money, how do you buy a business?
Exactly. Well, we did get some help from the family, and I guess it wouldn't hurt to say the asking price was $69,000, and that's what we paid him for it. And after the work we've put into it, it's worth more. But that's because I'm here all the time. Unlike the previous owner who, you know, had his other main job, this was his side gig. So I obviously work it a lot differently.
How many hours do you put into this restaurant a week?
Currently, anywhere from 75 to 100. And that has changed. In 2020, when they closed the schools in March, we lost half our crew with no notice, and we haven't been fully staffed since. And we've had to adjust our schedule. But finding help has been so challenging. This year, I have only had so far 3 days off. And most of my days are usually 13 to 14 hours. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of that old joke you may have heard. I was getting pretty sick and tired of my 9-to-5. So I had this great idea. I want to go into business for myself. Now I get to work 24/7.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So there it is. But I expect that that is also temporary. It doesn't feel sustainable, first of all. And second of all, I just see that things are changing, you know, locally, nationally, globally. And so I'm optimistic that my schedule is not going to stay the same for long. And as a matter of fact, my daughter and son-in-law just moved back from Washington State. So they're helping me now. So not all of my days are 13 or 14 hours long now. And as soon as we get all their skills up to par, I'll probably be able to get some more days off.
That's great.
Yes.
Now, outside of those two, do you have any other employees?
Yes, we have two high school kids who work the weekends, just a couple of 5-hour shifts each. And they're both great, very young, but it's a help. And then I have one other full-time guy who's off today. He's about 30 years old, and he's been here for about a year now. And just up until only about a month and a half ago, it was just me and him. And we were just open 5 days a week, closed Mondays and Tuesdays, and it was just Tyler and I all day, every day, the rest of the week.
How did you manage?
Grace, I'm a believer. So anytime there's a mystery or a question that I don't immediately have an answer for, I put that on God. And when it comes to my day-to-day life and all the challenges, I say I just expect miracles every hour of every day, and I've been getting them for decades. So I'm just expecting that what has been happening all these years is going to keep happening. But I don't know how I keep doing this, but I just go for it, and we're still here.
You're still here, and you'll, as long as you're in the game, you allow yourself the opportunity to win, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. Right.
The minute you step out, you can't get those miracles.
Right.
And so, aside from employment, which is something that is very difficult across many pizzerias that I've spoken with.
Oh yeah.
What are the other hard things about running a pizzeria?
Well, the job by its nature is challenging, like soccer or basketball. And I'll often tell this to a candidate in an interview. I think of this as like a game of soccer because we are constantly pressed for time and we have a lot of work to do in this limited amount of time. But once we get the skills down, it should be fun. And it should even be easy. We're making people happy. We love the pizza ourselves. We eat it constantly. So it's like an ongoing pizza party all the time that we're just sharing with whoever walks in the door. And the days fly by. So there's the upside. You know, the downside is that it is a lot of work. But the individual tasks I feel are pretty simple. You know, making food and cleaning up. We actually spend more time doing dishes than any other single task in the place, which I pretty sure is the same at every restaurant everywhere. But yeah, that's just how we go about it. But I try to keep everyone's focus on the positivity and, you know, the upside. For me, it's just so satisfying to see people enjoying, you know, the results of our efforts. And despite all the insane challenges of recent years, we are still here. So that is such a huge miracle, I guess. Just there's no other word to really sum it up.
That's very beautiful. Where do you get to see people's enjoyment of your pizza? Do they sit here at this table? Because I noticed you have maybe 6 chairs in this restaurant.
Right.
Do they go outside and take their slice on the bench and then they come back in here? How is this feedback being sent back over to you?
Well, for me, the biggest compliment we can possibly get, and we see it pretty routinely, is someone will come in and order a slice or two and they'll sit down inside or outside and then 5 or 10 minutes later, they're back wanting more. That is the biggest compliment.
I can see that.
But then people just returning, you know, days or even weeks later, or of course all the verbal comments. It's almost a little embarrassing to me because people will say things like, this is the only pizzeria where my kids will eat. Or whenever I'm in town, you know, I moved away from the Bay years ago, but whenever I make it back, I always make a point to stop here. Or people will say, I'm a New York native. And if you ever close, I'm just gonna have to move back. And so it's so gratifying. It's really humbling, and I can feel myself just blushing thinking about it. But just people coming back is so rewarding. And you know, this recipe I think is spectacular too. I'm actually surprised more people don't use it, because when I was doing the research, it appeared to me to be the most widely published and talked about pizza recipe in the world. But a lot of people say this is the only place in the Bay we can get this. And again, it's just humbling to, because when I was looking for a restaurant, I really didn't care what kind of food it was. I was even looking at coffee shops, convenience, liquor stores, gas stations. I just needed something to pay the bills. And this is what I got. So every day, my heart is just overflowing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I think that pizza is a place where you can do what you love and get paid to do what you love. And it's easy to love something when you have such great interaction day to day.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. You get that feedback and you just, you're all smiles when you hear that people love your product.
Yes.
It makes them happy. It brings them back.
Right.
It's what they want for their birthday.
And it inspires us to try even harder if we possibly can.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Let's talk about the pizza.
Okay.
Why do you think people love it so much?
I think this original recipe is so simple, but so delicious. And I think of it as the way our great grandparents used to eat before we came up with all the chemical concoctions and plastic and everything. And you know, the crust is just wheat flour, fresh baker's yeast, kosher salt, and the best spring water we can get. And we let it rise for 2 days because the fermentation process that the yeast goes through, consuming the sugars from the wheat flour, produce the fermentation that gives it the flavor profile. And so the 2 day dough tastes noticeably better than the 1 day dough. And so it's just so good. It's alchemy. I don't know how to describe it. It's just magic. But I love it, and other people love it. And our East Coast customers are probably our biggest fans. And so it's just so fun to hear them talk about how this takes me back to being a kid and going down to the corner pizzeria and stuff like that. So it just feels like one of the good things from the past that we're still keeping alive for everybody today. And unfortunately, it takes a little bit longer to make because everything is from scratch by hand. And it's also a little more expensive, actually a lot more expensive than a lot of our competitors. But I feel like it's so worth it. And we've even had customers and a couple employees even that after trying it a couple of times, they would tell us, you know, this is actually the only pizza we can get that doesn't give us an upset stomach later. And I can only imagine it's because all the lecithin and propellant and all the other words I can't even read that are in the ingredients list of the chain operators. So I think it's just the old recipe is just good.
Time and quality cost money, like you said.
Right.
How do we explain to folks that this is worth it?
They have to try and come to their own conclusion. And some people are, you know, convinced that what they're used to is the best. And I understand change is challenging. And what we know now about the big food manufacturing is that they intentionally use some ingredients for their addictive properties. Like diet sodas, for instance, a lot of things they put in those are just to keep people coming back. So I kind of have an understanding of why someone might say, you know, some international mega conglomerate chain is better just because that's what they're used to and, you know, making the changes hard. But I feel that that's a minority of the people. And anyone who is open to trying anything new who tries this is probably going to realize they really like it.
It's like we sort of understand that Domino's is bad for us.
Right.
But it's just so convenient. It's something right. We've been eating for such a long time.
It's so quick. And there's a reason they can make it in 6 minutes.
There is. And there's a reason it's $8.99 for
right.
medium.
Exactly right.
What is your preference? Do you prefer getting a whole pie or would you choose the individual slice reheated?
I'm still on the fence. And in my 7 years here, I have engaged with customers across the full spectrum. Even some people from New York will say it's not real New York pizza unless it's been taken out of the oven and cooled off, then sliced and reheated. Other people are the exact opposite. It's not real unless it's fresh out of the oven. You cut it, immediately eat it. And even the way people like to have it reheated is different. Sometimes people will come and take slices to go for later, or they'll tell us, you know, they want their pizza for, you know, later that evening or something. And so we'll sometimes ask, what's your preferred way to reheat it? The experts recommend a pizza stone preheated in the oven, but that takes, you know, some time to get everything ready. My kids are usually in a big hurry, so just a toaster oven. But skillets are pretty famous. Air fryers, we've been told. So anything that applies heat, of course, a microwave, and I'm just against microwaves in general, but to microwave this, you do not get the mouthfeel, that crispiness on the bottom. That's part of the tradition. So we don't recommend that. And we really, I can only remember one customer all year, and she didn't admit that she was doing it. She said her husband was the one that used the microwave.
Oh no.
But there is a broad spectrum, and I like it every which way. I really do. We will sometimes, one of my boys and two of my grandkids live in Reno. So a lot of times when we have slices left at the end of the day, we'll bag them up in a Ziploc, freeze them. And then my wife is usually going to Reno every week or two to visit anyway, so we'll just send them. And so they always have Speedery in their freezer.
I love that.
And they can just take it out and in, you know, a few minutes, have it good to go. And they love it. And I love it too when I'm there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways, and they're all good.
There's no wrong way to have a Speedery pizza unless it's in the microwave.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. I think that's why I never use the microwave with pizza, because it gets kind of chewy.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I think that's why I didn't like New York pizza at first, was because I would get the pizza, drive it home, and then I would notice that it was hard to gnaw on, you know? I just didn't have that crisp.
Right.
But until I started educating myself a little bit and knowing that, well, it's going to be best when you have it right away.
Right.
Or you have to really take that extra step and reheat it.
Right.
But me, I was just in a rush to eat, and
yeah.
I was like, let's just do this.
Right.
Right? Stuff
right.
My face now. I can't wait. Yeah. Now, when it comes down to it, my audience loves to know, what are the biggest mistakes in the restaurant business if they're looking to start?
What are big mistakes? You know, thinking back to my own learning curve, and even after having worked in restaurants since the 80s and even, you know, managed some, I felt I was familiar with everything, but there was just so much to learn. And, you know, where do we find the best quality supplies for the lowest cost, you know, so we can keep our cost, our customers as low as possible. I guess one thing that I could have done more thoroughly before taking this place on was a little more market research, because we got here in 2016, and what I didn't know is that there was already discussions about a $15 minimum wage, which locally Redwood City pulled the trigger on that in 2019, and they have an added layer baked in where it goes up annually now based on the consumer price index, basically inflation. And although it's capped at 5%, it's going up every year, and inflation being so crazy lately, it's hitting the cap. So we have seen labor increase over 70% just in the last 4 years, and I had no idea. I was completely blindsided. And although I feel strongly that people should be able to make a living wage, and so I actually advocate for fair wages, that is a big hit to take. And in any restaurant, labor is the biggest expense, because it takes a lot of people to get all the work done. So that was a huge and completely unexpected challenge.
Now, aside from hoping for a miracle, what do you see as the solution to that?
Well, I feel like we have a really good product. And although there are no guarantees that a company that has a really good product is going to stay in business as long as they want, I feel like it's one of our best options. And besides the product itself, my philosophy really about the whole industry is that, yes, we make food and, you know, serve people the food. But what we actually do is customer service. And what that looks like is very simply just making somebody's day a little better. when they come in, our goal is just to make their day a little better. And they come in for the pizza, but it's really the overall experience. And I feel very strongly that if people enjoy coming here, that's gonna be even more impactful than how much they like the pizza. So we put a lot of focus on, you know, having a positive environment, people being upbeat all the time. And I actually have a personal understanding, which I developed on my first restaurant job, because when I would eat the food at the first restaurant I worked at, I would discover that sometimes it would be satisfying, it'd be fine, but other times I would eat till I could barely stand up, but I still did not feel satisfied. And then I started noticing that sometimes the cooks that were on the clock were kind of disgruntled, maybe angry, complaining about conditions or pay or whatever. But when there were cooks there that were more upbeat, seemed to be enjoying themselves more, didn't have a lot of negative things to say, the food was just more satisfying. And that really kind of was knocking around in my head for a long time. And then I came across the research about how the water molecules are actually affected by the intention. And it's almost a little awkward for me to say, a little embarrassing, because kind of new agey and personal beliefs and all that, but it made perfect sense to me. So I feel that having a positive environment makes the food even better, but even more importantly, is more inviting to our guests, who we consider, you know, friends, sometimes family, neighbors. And so that's all just great. I feel like, besides just serving the pizza and staying in business, we're actually making the community a little better. And that feels like an important piece.
So I love that. I love that you see that you are able to touch people with your food, right? And make their day better, make them feel nourished, and also be a part of the community so that, I mean, I saw Arthur over here saying that he comes to see you regularly.
Right.
And it's part of his, he called it his therapy. That is beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. And so when it comes to getting your name out in the world, what are you doing that's working?
Well, as far as becoming famous, I have a strong aversion to that. And my plan from the beginning was actually to turn this into an empire, you know, start expanding. But with one thing and another, and especially pandemic and et cetera, it hasn't, you know, been a workable option yet.
Empires take a long time to build.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I look at like In-N-Out Burger, because they've only been around, what, like 35 years. They now have over 330 stores or something. It's still privately owned by the same family, and their standards are high. It's basic food, right? Burger and fries. But they do it well. They're consistent across all their locations. And that's what inspires me, because that's the kind of paradigm and the kind of achievement that I would like to duplicate. I don't think I'll call it In-N-Out Pizza, but I can see something like that happening, and it could certainly take less than a lifetime. So we've been a little delayed getting that all going, but as long as we're still here, as you pointed out, anything is possible.
It's all perspective.
Right.
Right? 10 years looks like a long time if you're looking at it starting at zero.
Right.
But if you're looking at it in 100 years or 50,
right,
it's a fraction.
Not so much. Yeah.
Is there anything you want to leave the audience that is listening? What is your one message to kind of close this off?
Wow. That sounds big. Overall, life is good. And finding things about what we do every day that we love. You know, some people say you need to find a job that you love, you know, like professional athletes play their sports because they love them. That's easy to understand. But a lot of us have more like ordinary jobs, and a lot of aspects of these ordinary jobs are not easy or not fun or pleasant. But in most situations in life, over the years that I've had so far, it seems to me that there's almost always an upside and a downside. So I just try to intentionally point my focus to the good aspects. So for instance, my days are long and I don't get many days off. I don't like that. So I just don't think about it much. On the other hand, I really enjoy making the pizza. I really enjoy engaging with customers, you know, like Arthur. And so I put a lot of intention into just staying focused on those things. And so keeping it as good as positive, as good as possible.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Focus on the positive.
Right.
And everything will work its way out.
Yeah.
Or work itself out.
Right. Right.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time.
It's been so much fun, Andrew.
Yeah. Thanks. Let's go make some pizza.
Awesome.
If you stayed to the end and you just heard that last sentence, yes, it is true. We went and made some pizza and I recorded it. So if you want to check that out, go to YouTube right now. Just search for What's Good Dough and you'll see it as my most recent video. Also, what did you think of the conversation? I truly, truly, truly would love your feedback. Let me know what you think of the in-person conversation. Did you stay till the end? Was the intro better than normal? I'm trying to make all these updates. I surveyed a bunch of people recently and I'm listening, y'all. And I really want to make this a podcast worth listening to and worth sharing to your pizza pals. So do me this one favor. If you did enjoy it, share it with a friend. Share it on your story. I appreciate you for doing so. I love you. Till next time. Peace.